Shelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
September 15, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Instantaneously interesting because halfway through this month. Are you surprised? I am. All right. Anyway, that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, who knows really what year it is or what month it actually is, because nobody tells time properly on planet Earth anyway. But that's a reference to another show I might do again soon. Doesn't matter. It's Thor's Day. Welcome to it. And you're probably hearing us further on down the stream via your final slab of choice, your applicable application, which means it's a recording, it's a podcast, and glad you're along for the ride. But some people do hear us live. Anyway, we are live at O'Shelly.com and on your radio apps and all that good stuff. So, and there may be some AM and FM live stuff coming up, but that has been a weird, long, just dragging process. But we'll get into that soon. And a lot of other things. The interesting week that is. Are you fascinated with Corpse Watch? Which is what I'm calling it, you know, because King Charles is in place and Jack Blood making fun of me during his show, calling me King Charles. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. No, I have never been royalty, nor has any member of my family, to the best of my knowledge. But anyway, forget it. Let's get to other stuff. Mike Swanson is with me, the author of The War State, the author of Why the Vietnam War, the guy behind WallStreetWindow.com, be in the know. Check out WallStreetWindow.com. You guys know the name. You know that commercial I've been running for years with the original sound that gets stuck in people's heads, according to some people. a lot of echo effects and things. WallStreetWindow.com. Yeah, go over there. It's not just about Wall Street. Okay, but I got Mike Swanson with me, and we're going to do a solid hour on the O'Shelly Effect tonight with Mike, because still, not going to replace Larry Hancock. Larry Hancock will replace Larry Hancock, okay? But got Mike with me, and I'm glad that he's along with me. We may have to discuss a little bit of Wall Street, though, during this hour. Let's see where it goes. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. Good to talk with you.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. I don't know. It's just, it's been a weird week. Are you noticing that September is flying by quickly, or is it just me?
Oh, no, it's going really quick. Hey, can you hold on give me 1 minute? I got to step away really quick. I'll
be
right
back. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It'd just be 2 minutes, hopefully.
No worries at all.
Okay.
Mike, listen, one thing I can do, don't listen. Go ahead, Mike. Listeners, listen. One thing I can do is fill time and run my mouth. I'm pretty good at that. So no problems there. I was thinking about discussing this weird northeastern bombing situation, which is evolving in the alleged news. And, of course, I should call that an alleged bombing and all that. And I'm not trying to copy Jack Blood. It's just there are allegations of many things going on there. Is this, and my first instinct, my first thought, was totally weird. I know a lot of you probably went Boston bombing in your minds when you heard about this, but I thought to myself, Unabomber. I mean, after all, there's been a lot of traction to his manifesto recently, out on audiobook on several platforms now. Weird, but that's what I was thinking. Unabomber, university bomber. But now there's a possibility that it's a hoax, or maybe there never was an explosive. And you know what? I'm still waiting for the information to come in on that one. The Corpse News Network now, because Coronavirus News Network is not in play. And obviously, there are some things coming out from the CDC regarding how they handled vaccines and how they were tracking it. Although, I now have Strike Ready 5 on YouTube. Strike 5 for ever questioning the vaccine. So, you know, I'm not uploading there, and the channel will disappear soon. And they hit me for a couple other dings and said that they weren't going to give me strikes. So actually,
hey,
I probably...
sorry about that.
Oh, no worries at all. I'm probably okay. Up to strike 7 on YouTube, really. But right now, officially, I have 5 strikes, and I don't know why my channel hasn't been taken away. Honestly, that's why the BitChute channel is coming up, and take a look in the show notes for the BitChute channel. Also, we're starting to do video. So Some of the shows are going to be captured in video form and be on Rockfin, and that's going on now. We recorded one last night, and we're taking a little bit of time with it. It didn't go live because there was a little glitch, but we're going to fix that and maybe start doing. People want to come on and do their demonstrations if they've got a PDF or something that's available in a certain format. We can do all kinds of visual stuff and play videos and all kinds of things over at Rockfin. So, all right, I went through a little bit of news, Mike, believe it or not, and gave people updates on stuff that we're doing on the website and at Ocelli.com. There's going to be evolutions. Actually, I need to talk to you about it, too, because sometimes I know you like to have charts or you like to have visual aids when you're talking about certain things.
Sure.
We'll be able to do that on Rockfin. So we're just running it for Wednesdays right now to get it straight. And I'm going to see if maybe, you know, I can get, I got one producer for sure, but I want some help because it's visual stuff, Mike. I mean, you know, it's just, it would be helpful if I had somebody to visually help me, but we'll also be able to literally play videos on our video stream. So let's just say we had a video clip of something or whatever, we could actually funnel it in there, things like that, and also your charts and all that. Speaking of charts, if you're okay with it, I usually hate to do this to you, because, you know, everybody wants to talk to you about money in Wall Street, but gotta go with the guy I know, Mike. What in the hell is happening? A hostile bear market. I forget the proper word for that when it starts to get a little rough, you know, when things start to get a little choppy in the stock market. But that's happening, and people that are reporting on it in the mainstream media are acting surprised. Now, I haven't looked at any of the financial shows. I almost tuned into that guy who's, the most famous guy on CNBC?
Kramer.
I almost tuned into him when I was watching this trend, you know, seeing that the market was bouncing and definitely trending downward, it looked like. You know, is this a correction? Is this reality? Or does it have anything to do with you, the listener, unless you have something invested in a 401k or you're actively involved in the game? I don't know. I'm not a money guy. I just observe it and I say to myself, boy, this looks strange. And you put out some interesting stories this week in your emails, which, by the way, you can go over to wallstreetwindow.com and sign up, for Mike's email list. It's great. Nice news digests, all throughout the week. Interesting stuff. The one story you had, leading one of your emails about Meta, and something being wrong with the Meta stock. It wasn't your article, but it was definitely interesting.
I tell you, we'll get to the overall market, but sure. That story, it was interesting. What's, you know, we've been talking about online video for a month or two, but Facebook, Meta, which is now called Metaverse Company, but I keep calling it Facebook. But Facebook, the website, is still its most important revenue generator.
Right.
And the company, as we've spoken in the past, the growth of the users on that website peaked out a year ago, and it actually started to shrink a little bit. Right. The amount of time people are using on Facebook has started to shrink last year. And as a company that has a stock, for years had been one of the best performing stocks in the stock market. And what people like to buy into are stocks that have earnings growth and revenue growth. And they're willing to pay high prices for those stocks.
Well, really quickly, interrupting you right there, really quickly. I mean, they also keep acquiring other platforms. Like, Meta is not just Facebook. But they also have Instagram, a lot of other social media things. They have some of these other, like, tech platforms that do certain operations that are not necessarily part of the headlines, but it's a fairly diverse kind of like online asset, Meta, now, right? Because it's got more than just Facebook. I mean, it does have Facebook, that's true, and that is the crown jewel, I guess, of the whole thing, because it's such a monster. But same time, they've been acquiring other companies. I mean, sometimes it looks to me like they're acquiring stuff to, eliminate competition. In other cases, they're acquiring things to expand their capabilities. And we all know about the virtual world that's being created now, right? So, yeah, you're thinking to yourself, this is growth and this is definitely a standard and Facebook ain't going away. You know, maybe if you're 20 years old, it's going away or doesn't exist. But either way, they're going to try and compete with every single trending thing possible. TikTok is the king of the short video at the moment. But there's a lot of elements here coming together. But you were talking about growth, and people want to get into something, obviously, that has the potential to grow because the idea is if the company grows, your money grows, right? I mean, I'm really oversimplifying, but that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But and what happened was because it was no longer growing, the company a year ago wanted to give people a reason to think it would grow in the future, so they started to promote the idea of metaverse would be the next big thing and buy the stock to get into that. They claim everyone's going to be using the goggles and all this kind of stuff. In reality, only 100,000 people are using the goggles in the whole world.
Right.
It hasn't caught on. And in January, the stock crashed, when they started to say, well, you know, there's only a small number of people using the goggles and it's going to cost us all this money and it's a concept and it may not even work and we won't even know for years. And the growth story ended. And then in the last earnings, call about 90 days ago, they said that, okay, we're going to start to make changes to the news feed. And what they said they're going to do is make it more like – I mean, this is what they're saying. And they're going to slowly change it by the end of the year to make it so that when you load up Facebook, the things that appear in your news feed, a lot of them will be chosen by the algorithm. And they won't be people that you're friends with or pages you've liked. There'll be things chosen by Facebook for you. And the idea is that this will keep people more engaged with the app and the website than they have been, because the engagement levels have been dropping off. Now, what they're doing, though, is copying TikTok. This is how the TikTok algorithm runs. And they said in the call that they're going to use what they call Instagram Reels. These are short videos, less than a minute long, exactly the same length and size of TikTok videos.
Right. Now, here's the thing about this, Mike. Like I said, they're not only acquiring Instagram and doing stuff like that, but they've been mirroring a whole bunch of trending stuff, even getting into the communication business. You know, that Facebook portal thing I don't think has worked out so well, but they're trying to sell it as, you know, look, you can, instead of Zooming or whatever, you can use this. They've come out with, they're trying to engage, and I wonder about this. I didn't get a chance to ask you before the show, but you have pages on Facebook that are entities, just like I do. Lately, they've been coming at us saying, you know, anybody who has an entity page on Facebook that has more than 10 people in it, you know, listen, your experience is changing. We're going to give you new tools. We're going to give you new stuff. Take a look at the new stuff that's coming. They're trying to revamp everything for engagement on the creator side and the, you know, the spectator side, so to speak, right? So they're doing that, plus trying to integrate these technologies all together to create, you know, not necessarily like a Google monster, but, I mean, the Google monster, the way it is a whole bunch of different platforms and technologies integrated into this massive thing that is Google. I think they're going for the, you know, competing with Google. I think that's what they're trying to sell anyway. Now, whether they can do it is another story. What are your thoughts on that? And have you seen that as a content creator?
It's popped up, but I haven't pressed enough buttons to understand what it is.
No, I'm not going into all of it either because I don't care. I mean, I'm at this point where I despise Facebook. I'm sorry, Mike. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, what is happening is that younger people are using TikTok and YouTube, more than Facebook. And what they said in the call is, look, this was like 90 days ago. Look, we're going to use reels that are like TikTok videos on Instagram, and integrate them with the news feed and do that more and more. So it'll kind of, you know, they're basically mimicking, saying they were going to mimic TikTok. Now, what happened was last week, a internal report was leaked to the Wall Street Journal. Then the report was done a couple weeks ago, you know, and it revealed that these Instagram reels are not functioning the way they wanted to. The engagement has collapsed. They haven't been able to catch on with people. And it said one of the stats was that the engagement rate is like 20%. And they define that as someone that loads up one video and then does at least one more within 30 days.
Yeah, but you know why, Mike? Have you taken a look at the video stuff on Facebook over the past couple of years, even? Honestly, you know, the Facebook Live and people, you know, release these little video clips. People have been doing that anyway without guidance from Facebook.
Yeah.
And you know what the problem is? Their tech sucks. It doesn't work right on a whole lot of devices. So when you have clunky tech, this is what happened with YouTube. That's why when Google bought it, immediately the tech was the upgrade. They made everything smooth, streamlined. It was straight. It worked well. You know, unless your internet connection sucked, YouTube worked well, right? They did that out of the gate before they, we talked about this, you know, with Google, acquiring it very early on. They stepped up the tech and made it very functional. Facebook's video stuff sucks. I mean, it just, it's terrible. Have you done a Facebook Live?
Not live, but I've uploaded videos on there.
Okay. Now, did you get people like...
I couldn't figure out how to do it live. I couldn't figure it out.
All right. You know what it is. You got to do it from a phone. At least that's the way it was.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Well, I didn't have a phone at first, and I'm looking for the Facebook Live button, and everybody online's telling me it's right there. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, and that was another thing, is if you couldn't do it from a desktop or a laptop, you had to have a phone in order to even do the live video. And not, you know, I know everybody streams from their phones all the time, but not everybody knows that. You know what I mean? So you're looking for a button you can't find and you go, ah, screw it. I got other platforms. You know what I mean? And like I said, as a viewer, I've tried to watch stuff on Facebook and I have watched some stuff on Facebook. There are musicians, especially during the pandemic, right? Who were, you know, like, listen, we're going to play in our house, right? And we're going to show you on Facebook. So they went Facebook Live and did, you know, 5-6 songs. And it's like, look, you can't see us in concert this year, but come to our Facebook Live. Cypress Hill got together and did, you know, listen, we're going to sit here and work in the studio together and you can watch us. Stuff like that. I watched that stuff, but it kept malfunctioning. So their video capabilities are terrible. I mean, maybe the Reels on Instagram is functional from the tech end, and that's why they're probably, you know, let's use that. That works good.
Well, they're having a problem. In the story, it said that, you know, there's all these TikTok people out there. Not, you know, and they were thinking some of these people would come and use it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And the reason why, and I think this happens, I've tried to upload videos on Facebook that I put on YouTube and they just don't get any views. And what the story said was that if you put a video up on Facebook that you have somewhere else, they downgrade it so few people see it because they're trying to make people be incentivized to only use them. Well, that's had the reverse effect to make it so people don't have an incentive to spend much effort putting their videos up there.
Well, that's the thing, is if you go to my news page.
Well, what's happened is the Instagram Reels system that they were hyping up as the next pivot that would make Facebook, you know, be competitive with YouTube and TikTok. Well, the internal report shows it's a disaster. In fact, it said the engagement has collapsed.
Right.
So this is what they're doing. It's like every 90 days they come up on their analyst calls with stock market people, some new gimmick that is going to make everything grow again, and then it doesn't work.
Because again, the technology's behind. Look, you've been to my news page on Facebook. I know you have. And you know, there's a video on that page. They don't feature it because, yeah, it is somewhere else. It's on YouTube right now. Nobody's watching it on YouTube either. But the thing is that nobody even sees the video. They encourage you to upload this content there and then it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, it's not like a YouTube or whatever where you just show up and by virtue of watching a video, it'll automatically make suggestions and
right.
It comes up in a line. Facebook doesn't do that. So like, let's just say logically, Mike, because you and I are associated to each other, we're friends, we do media projects together. If somebody goes to your page, then a suggestion would be logical somewhere on the list that my news page would come up, right? But it doesn't. It doesn't do that. So it's like they want to jump on every bandwagon, but they don't really know what the bandwagon's about. It's like, yay, I'm a fan of this now. Let's go there because that's popular. It's like, you know, those kids you used to see in high school that were like, yeah, I'm really into this now. And they would tell you about it, and they knew nothing about it. They were just doing it because their friends were doing it. You know what I mean? And you're like, you know, yeah, I'm really into this rock band here, you know, and they're calling it a rock band. And you're like, yeah, that's like actually a metal band. Or, no, that's not really what we would call rock and roll. It's a band, yes, but, or they would call it a band and it's like, that's not a band. That's like a rapper, one guy. You know, because you knew they knew nothing about it. They just wanted to jump on the bandwagon. It seems like Facebook is the kid trying to be trendy who doesn't understand the trends. And they get a lot of things right, obviously, because they're this massive entity that's been around for a while. But I think, quite frankly, their users have aged. And they haven't kept up or kept ahead, so other entities have come in and filled that void. You know, like with these kids. YouTube was a huge thing with kids. Like I told you, I moved in with this woman, like, you know, when YouTube first started. All of her kids were into it. All their friends were into it. That's how I found out about YouTube. You know what I mean? When it was that thing just before Google bought it. And it was loaded with all that stuff, old TV shows, and, you know, weird things. People playing pranks on each other. And, did you ever take a look at Crazy Frog, by the way?
No, not yet.
Okay, no problem. I put a link in last week's show to Crazy Frog. Because it was a historical, like, you know, animated character that was sort of interesting on YouTube. Long time. It's not even a huge channel by today's standards, but it was one of those first things that started to trend and started to make YouTube famous. Anyways, enough out of my mouth. So what they're doing is basically trying to play catch up all the time, and they never quite make it right. It's always like that fail, you know, where you're trying to, oh, I know all about what the young people like.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. This is just what happens of companies. It became a giant company, and once companies get to be so big, it's hard to grow, you know, much more. And media things come and go,
right.
You know, as you well know. So I think it's just, it's just what it is. I mean, I don't see how it's going to reinvent itself. And frankly, I mean, at this point, we've both been on the internet since for a very long time.
Right.
I don't really think there's going to be any big new thing anyway. I think innovation's, you know, we have this perception that innovation is just nonstop and next week there's going to be something new. I remember when the internet, in 2000, the internet stocks were a bubble and they blew up. And it, you know, like the stock market's falling now. And people would say, well, that's how the economy works. So there'll be a new big thing that'll come around and make the economy grow and make the stock market go up again. Well, what happened? There wasn't a new big thing, but there was a real estate bubble that came, starting about 20 years ago. now, and then it peaked out around 2006, and everything crashed. And then they said, well, there'll be a new big thing, and what's happened? I mean, there's been, you know, the economy since 2008 has been pretty dismal for most people.
Right.
It's just gotten worse, if you know, really, over the past couple of years. Well, see, but never
been,
was.
Yeah, that's been my argument since I started this show, is like, people are going, the economy's booming, I'm going, where? You know, like, and that's the other funny thing.
Well,
is that,
it boomed. Yeah. It boomed in the stock market. Because they made interest rates zero, and they did these quantitative easing buying programs. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't, like, the inflation wasn't that bad in the real economy. You know, nothing like it is this year.
No, right.
During that time. So people thought, well, the stock market's going up, and we're not suffering from inflation, so this is great. You know, low rates are great. You know, you used to, what was the phrase they had, you don't hear it anymore. Modern, monetary theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were saying this is new understanding of the way things work, which was that debt doesn't matter and you can keep interest rates zero because there'll never be inflation again. Well, that was nonsense as we now know. Because we're living through the proving it's nonsense. But I want to try to explain. We've gone through another similar bubble.
Right.
That's now, and you know, blowing up, basically. That's why the stock market's falling. Has been this year. It's a bear market, but you had a rally in June that ended about 3 weeks ago. And when the rallies happen, the financial news gets excited about it. They'll say the bear market's over, and the market does take back enough losses that people just forget about it. And then it tops out, and now it's falling again. It is probably going to keep doing it the rest of the year.
Well,
but
so long as there's not a violent sudden crash,
right?
That nobody really takes all that much notice of this.
That's right.
Over time.
And there was last week. Friday it fell, the Dow fell 1,200 points.
Right. Now, that was my point, is that horrible crash, you would have thought that would have dominated the news, but unfortunately, Queen Elizabeth II, I guess, died. So that has now dominated the news cycle, okay? But otherwise, you would have thought that would have been the only story people would have talked about all weekend, but nothing. You know, what happened there is my big question. What went on? Do you have any idea?
I don't know why they didn't stop talking about it.
But it just sort of went away. I mean, look, I know that over the weekends, a lot of us will turn around and try to unplug. And I know, I think you do that.
Yeah, I wasn't paying that much attention, so I'm not.
But on Monday morning, when you went to go look at stuff, they might have said, oh, you know, the overnights in Asia look like this, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and then we're going to come in, and the opening bell, you know, here we go.
Well, on that hand, I mean, there's a simple explanation. The Dow fell 1,200 points,
right?
And you know, me and you are talking about it, but the people that are actively trading it, day trading and whatever, they see that and think, well, that's a buying opportunity.
Right.
So some of those people came in Monday and like the Dow went up 100 points.
Right.
So because it's not crashing, there's nothing really to talk about. Now it's going through I think it closed today below the low of Monday. So that bounce, I mean, it's very, I'm talking about like hourly gyrations here, you know,
So it gave back what it gained on Monday, but not so significantly that we're looking at a catastrophic failure. But then again, look, who knows what's going to come on Friday, right? With this, because economic news has been odd. The jobless rate is down, supposedly, because they gave a revised look at August already, which is weird again, because we're only halfway through September. There was a revised version of the jobless rate, right? If I'm correct here. I mean, look, this stuff goes by so fast.
Well, yeah, I want to kind of tell a story to, I think, kind of ex- kind of a good metaphor for what everything that's going on.
Sure.
I don't know if I talked about this on your show, but I've gone to this casino in North Carolina probably half a dozen times this year. Mm-hmm. And a couple months ago when I went there, I played poker, but they have a bar you can go to.
Yeah.
And I was in this bar area and I was talking to this guy. He looked like he was 30 years old or something, but he was telling me, I mean, he wasn't lying. But he's telling me he's making all this money in real estate. He has this real estate business.
Okay.
And I mean, I talked to this guy for like 30 minutes or something. And he answered every question I had. He just told me how his business works. I mean, he was telling me how much he pays people, how much he's spending, the whole spiel.
Right.
But this guy, and he has a partner, he has a team of women, his secretaries that answer the phone.
Right.
And when someone calls in, they talk to them, and if the person's serious, then the call is handed over to the guy I was talking with.
Okay.
And then, but here's how it starts. And I know he's telling the truth because I'll tell you why in a second. He was telling me they send out $100,000 worth of mail in the postal mail.
Okay.
Every month. And then out of that mail, so you're talking like maybe 100,000 letters or more, 200, whatever it is, it's over 100,000 pieces of mail. Out of all that mail, they get like 500 phone calls.
Okay.
And then out of that, I forget what the percentages were, but and what they're doing is they're sending letters to people asking them if they'll sell their house or their property, real estate.
He's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys. Okay. Yeah. So and he was telling me, I knew he was telling the truth because he told me about real estate he bought in the town right next to me in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy, you know. So, and he was telling me he tries to buy the land, the whatever it is, for 10 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And then just put it up for sale.
Well, you know what? Because people are in trouble financially on some of these things, and they need to get out with something. And what's happening is you see these guys, flyers all around town, even in a place like where I live. You know, we buy houses. And you know, there's a phone number or whatever, right?
Yeah.
These guys are online. They're on Facebook, Marketplace and all these different, you know, platforms where they can advertise cheaply. And sometimes they do mailers too. And you'll just get a widespread of them in areas that are probably economically distressed. And people are like, I'm going to lose my house if I don't sell it. So they'll take the offer that the guy can, you know, turn over quickly. So if it's 10 cents, it's 10%. It's 10%. It's better than nothing.
He told me how much they're making, and I mean, this has been 6 months, so I don't remember.
Some of these guys.
It was millions of dollars of profit.
Some
millions.
Of these guys also do a thing where there's a bridge. They hang on to the place for a little bit, right? And then they turn around and offer the seller, would you, listen, maybe you don't want to move right away. We can come up with a short-term lease, Mike. Have you heard of this part of the strategy? So they'll rent.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They'll buy your house from you because you're in financial trouble. You can't afford the mortgage anymore. And look, maybe you don't want to move for the next 6 months. So here's what we'll do: here's a lease and a rental agreement, and you know you pay us rent for 6 months. Okay. While they're preparing to sell it, they're still renting the house to the guy they just bought it from. Some of them do that as well. Now that's a little wrinkle that not all of them do, a lot of them, but there's all these we buy houses people. And there's people out there, you know, they've gotten their VistaPrint, you know, business cards and they've gone, there's business cards everywhere. We buy houses. We'll buy your house. So, yeah, I totally believe that. If the guy spends $50,000 on sending out 100,000 mailers and gets 500 calls, and then he can convert, you know, say half of those, 250 of them. Well, that's probably millions of dollars in real estate that he gets to make money on, you know, for the cost of 50 grand. That's not a bad deal at all, is it?
Right. And here's – now, most – now this is one business model
right.
of doing this sort of thing. Now, I don't know how many people are – you know, I don't know how many – how easy it is to get someone to say something for 10 cents on the dollar. You know
– Well, like I said, you just got to find the people that are under financial distress. You know, if you haven't been able to make your mortgage payments, right, and you're now behind and you're basically getting ready to lose the house, but you still have ownership on it, like I said, 10% is better than
the real way to put this is, look, he's sending out $100,000 worth of mail pieces.
Okay.
A month. Well, how much money would it take to get the marketing engine going to get enough, you know, deals done, you know, what's the startup cost for this business? You know, right. 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 or a million. I don't know.
Well, maybe he started out like these guys with the flyers, like I'm talking about where,
yeah,
you know,
could be
he spent $100 to make flyers and business cards. Right.
But if you did that, I mean, is $100 going to get you one person?
Well, but
I don't know, but that's
the thing is if you can turn $100 into 100,000 because you make 100,000 on the real estate transaction, well, then what do? You roll that back into the business. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's just one, you know, that's a small segment of the real estate market. But what has been happening, interest rates went to zero in 2020.
Right.
So the cost to finance a loan to buy a house went to the lowest. You know, the interest rate, you know, went very low. So it's easy for people that had money with their bank already to get a loan.
Right.
And what's happened is there, over the past couple of years, since 2020, there has been a complete boom in people investing in real estate, even bigger than what happened 20 years ago.
Right.
And, I saw an article this morning I put out on a regional news email list. You don't get those.
Right.
But in Charlotte, North Carolina, it said that 4% of all the homes bought in that city are being done by people that don't even live in the state.
Right.
And so this is going on across the country. And I'm looking at an article here that in Boise, Idaho, the newspaper discovered that 30% of the homes, no, I'm sorry, 20% of the homes were bought from people out of state. 20%. And when they go to prices below 200,000, there's a study that says 31% are bought by investors. Now, the bulk of the investors are just a small number of people. For example, this story says that in Idaho, they found that 400 homes, well, in Boise, Idaho, 400 homes were bought, by one company called American Homes for Rent.
Okay.
It says in North Carolina, in the entire state, 40,000 properties were bought by 24 investment companies.
Okay.
However, although there are a few big buyers, you know, sucking up these properties, there's going to be, or are, I should say, marginal figures too who got into this game,
yeah,
who are over-leveraged. And to give you an extreme of this, a friend of mine several months ago sent me an article about this, and it was about the Airbnb homes.
Right.
And there have been a lot of people, thousands, millions, I don't know if it's millions, but many people, mm-hmm, lots, that got into buying homes, just regular people,
right,
that borrowed a lot of money to go buy homes, only whose only purpose is to rent them on Airbnb.
Okay.
And the article was interviewing these people and showing that they're doing, a lot of them are doing these crazy mortgages where they put down no down payments, or they have interest-only loans, which is insane to do in the economy with all this inflation mm-hmm. and rising interest rates. So there's a lot of marginal people, financially marginal, right. that got into extreme speculation, as there always is. Stock market's the same thing, people.
Right.
There are people that, you know, go on margin and borrow money to buy stocks. There's people that do extreme, crazy things.
Well, it's going to get worse. Well, look, Mike, I'm going to go to a break here because we missed the half-hour break, but I want to go to a break because I think it's going to get worse, and I'll tell you
well,
why.
Well, there's one big point I want to make about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
When we come back.
Sure.
Okay.
No, go ahead and make your point if you want. I mean, because to me, I'll tell you what. Let me throw this
I gotta
at you.
I got to go, like, right after 9. That's why I'm...
No problem. Let me throw this like at that. You, and we'll take
okay.
a we'll take a short break, and then you make your point on the other side.
Okay, sure. Sounds
because
good.
To me, this is really interesting because right now I saw a change in banking where they're going to start offering, you know, you don't need a deposit to buy a house. We're going to, you know, they're going to relax all these restrictions they had on being able to purchase real estate, and that started to happen only in the past, month? And they're going to open up again, it looks to me like, almost engineering another 2008 bubble. Because this is what happened. People ended up over-leveraged, underwater, and couldn't afford their homes. People were walking away from these things again. And I think the same thing's going to happen. And what will happen to these people that pick up these houses with these looser restrictions and stuff is going to be, they're going to get a pincer. Where they're dealing with the rise in interest rates, and then there's going to be a correction in the true value because everything skyrocketed. You remember people are still experiencing this all over the place if you're renting. Massive increases in your rent, right? But at the same time, now you're stuck in those contracts that you signed for rent, and the value of these places is going to go down. The interest rate's going to go up. And I think a lot of people are going to get stuck with properties that are not generating income and are not viable at the price they paid. So I think that the same thing is going to happen that happened in 2008, except it almost looks like, I don't know, it's being engineered that way again. It's weird to me. But we'll get to your point on the other side, Mike. Just take a quick break here on Ocelli.com.
Okay.
Mike Swanson is with me. The Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Short segment number two on the Ocelli Effect here on a Thursday, and we're only going to go for an hour with Mike Swanson, and did I say Thursday or Tuesday? I think I said Thursday. Whatever, that's what it is, and probably not what it is, actually, when you're hearing it, because most of you catch the podcast, but do appreciate you no matter how you're tuning in. We've been discussing real estate, believe it or not, and we talked about the market, we talked about the metaverse, but you'll have to rewind what you're listening to if you missed any of that. So, anyway, Mike was going to make a point, but I made him go to break there regarding what is happening with the current real estate market, which is going to affect everybody. Remember, that's that factor in everybody's financial circumstance that seems to always get ignored when people want to start to argue about who's doing a good job for the economy and who's actually, you know, robbing you straight out of your pocket directly in politics and business, et cetera. But truth is, one of the unsung things, a major piece of your cost of living is your housing cost, and whether you're renting, owning, or, you know, some other machination. It's a reality that we're all contending with. So I know this is important. Mike, you were going to make a point about this, though. Like I said at the end of that last segment, it just feels to me like I'm watching the engineering of another bubble being ready to burst when it comes to housing. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't think it's exactly like 2008, like it's going to cause the banks to crash and all this stuff to happen, but it's got similarities to it. But I think there's like two points I want to make, and you already kind of made it, and that is that these rising housing prices, which I was saying has been really fueled by speculation because of all these people borrowing money when interest rates went to zero, that's a huge contributor to inflation. Just the, you know, when these housing prices go up, the people that buy these houses and then go rent them out, they charge higher rents.
Right.
Because they're paying more for the properties. And last month, rent across the entire country went up 0.7% in one single month. And that was the biggest jump in one month since 1991.
Mm.
So, I mean, it has a big contributor to the cost of living. And food, rent, I mean, obviously gas, but food and rent are really probably more important than just what's happening at the gas tank.
Well, they're telling you, Mike, that the gas has gone down so much that, yeah, okay, but you know, maybe getting to the supermarket costs you less, but actually going there and shopping is still killing you. And yeah, the housing costs are jumping. I mean, I've gotten a rent increase. Anybody I know where there was an opportunity to increase their rent in the past year, I would say, has gotten not the old style rent increases where there was a small percentage, you know, and it would go up, you know, over a course of years, you know, your rent would raise a little bit, like it did in 91, you know, like when I first went into the adult world fully, right? Because 1990, I was 18. Okay. Yeah, right then, you know, you had these incremental little rent increases, right? It would go up $10, you know what I'm saying? Nowadays, though, it's like you're renting a place for $1,000 that you go to re-sign a lease or to sign another lease, and they're telling you, yeah, you know that $1,000, it's now $1,300. And things, and I'm not saying that's happening everywhere, but that has to be accounted for in this, you know, this small increase you're talking about, some people are seeing 30% increases, 20%, 15%. It's fairly significant, especially if it's now the second increase over the course of a year, right? I mean, if you get a one-year lease, things have changed for the landlord. So they come to you and say, look, this is now costing me more. It's going to cost you more. Plus your energy bill is up. Everything is up. So, yeah, very significant. But you notice when they talk about the economic circumstances of people, they'll talk about people losing their place to live, but they never really talk about the giant increases in rent that come in during times like this. So this is fairly significant. Like you said, it's been, 30 years since we've seen this kind of increase. So I can't see how it bodes well for, you know, the majority of us that are not seeing massive increases in our income, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you put it exactly right what's happening. The other point I was going to make is pretty simple, and that is that this whole discussion about real estate going up and interest rates and the low interest rates and speculators getting in. I mean, not half, but 20% of houses being bought out of state in many places of the country. I've seen websites where you can buy, they show you houses you can buy on the websites,
right,
you know, as investments. You don't even, you know, the idea is you don't even have to go and look at what you're buying. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just crazy. But that whole process that we're describing is what you can duplicate that whole story. And it's the stock market story too. You know,
really?
People jumped into the stock market, or many people did in 2020 because interest rates went to zero. And it helps the companies borrow more money to do different things or just buy back their stock to make the stocks go up. And all the Robin Hood people, you know, grew in 2020 and all this kind of stuff. But now the inflation has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fed is having to raise interest rates, and that's why this is, this bubble has been slowly falling. I mean, even the housing prices nationally are down off their highs from a couple months ago. So that's really the cause of what's happening now.
Right, exactly. So it's weird that the stock market is now mirroring real estate, because I would think of real estate as a more real world sort of a concern. And you and I have talked over and over again about how the stock market was not, you know, behaving as it used to in the past. I wonder if real estate is a changed industry in and of itself, much like the stock market had changed. I mean, we talked about how the computers that make, you know, the speed of trades, you know, really preventing the massive crashes, I think, you know, making things slow down because they could compensate for shifts in the market much quicker. That going on, along with these very disconnected, weird things, you know, the stock buybacks, all the stuff we talked about over the years, it's all a factor, and it's really newer paradigms than we're accustomed to. Do you think that the real estate market, though, is actually going to experience new, or are we going to, you know, or are they playing the hits for us, Mike? What do you think?
I don't know how new it is, or if it's permanently changing. I'm not sure. I mean, there's always, I mean, you go to Google and type invest in a home, right, and you'll see all these things pop up telling you you can just buy these houses all over the country and just get started. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just kind of crazy that to think I'm going to buy something in California and never even look at it. I mean, to me, it's crazy, but people, you know, is that something that's going to go away as a fad or stay? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. I know over the past few years, though, I've known lots of people who have landlords that they're like, look, the guy doesn't live anywhere near here. You know, it's like I send a check to this company or whatever. You know, they set up an LLC or whatever, and that thing is their property management, right? A lot of them are whatever, property management and this and that. And they never see the landlord. They just pay a check, and that's it. You know, I mean, not a check. Look at the old man with the check. you know, they make an electronic transfer, and that's it. That's how you pay your rent anymore.
I mean, to me, it's crazy. I mean, there's, I'm looking at a website now called arrivedhomes.com.
Okay.
And it shows you these homes you can just buy. The Mirage in Joshua Tree, California.
Wow. Okay.
Now, the problem of that is I don't know where that is. I mean, what if I were to buy that home and then it's in one of these areas that just catches on fire next year and it's destroyed?
Happens then? I don't know what happens then. It's in a desert. I can tell you it's in a desert area in California. So it is one of those places that could be dry, Mike. Don't buy that. Okay. I don't know what to say except that, you know, is the metaverse going to start purchasing the real land at some point? Is that possible? Because, maybe at the end of the day, they'll be the only ones with the money to do it. You know, are real people going to take advantage of these, you know, relaxed, you know, standards when it comes to buying? I'm not sure what the hell the real estate market's going to do. I just know that it is shifting and it is doing a lot of stuff. But if you go over to wallstreetwindow.com, you sign up for, you know, the news emails there. I can assure you Mike will keep track of this kind of stuff and introduce different stories on the real estate market into those emails, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. It'll be an ongoing thing for sure.
And it's definitely not a story that's all played out. I mean, you know, not quite as good as Follow the Corpse, I guess. You know, for some people, Following the Queen. I didn't even ask Mike about that, but I'm out of time with him this week. And you going to be back next week?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Excellent. So we will rejoin Mike Swanson, already in progress in your minds, next Thursday. But until then, go over to WallStreetWindow.com. Be in the know, okay? WallStreetWindow.com. He's also the author of The War State and Why the Vietnam War, which is the first in a series of three books about that particular conflict, with information and an outlook on it that you may not find anywhere else. Mike Swanson, thanks for doing this with me, man.
Great. Great. Good talk with you.
Anyway, stick around. I got maybe a few more things to say. The Ocelli Effect continues.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicily and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have no idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Shelley.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriends, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination
book into her claims? Go to Amazon.com, enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book. And it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial,
Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Chili.com.